friends and enemies. Thanks for coming back for another Saturday roundup of Lens Equity videos on the audio feed. This week, tons of stuff, man. Hive, Coinbase, DMGI, Big, Bitfarms, get a lot of other stuff here. Sato, Liquid FinTech, tons of stuff. So I hope you enjoy this. As always, brought to you by ShakePay, best place for Canadians to buy and sell, although you should never sell your Bitcoin. You can use our promo code CBP, sign up, and then shake your phone every day. Get up to 1,000 sats for free. Can't beat that after 200 days, which seems like a long time, but trust me, it's not. They also have the sats back promotion right now. If you spend off your CAD balance on the sats back card, you can get 1 or 2% back, depending on how much you've spent so far. And then, of course, the Shake Paid promotion, which is ongoing for some undetermined amount of time. It's like been going on for months now, but take advantage of it while you still can. I'm not sure how long it'll go, where if you spend off your CAD balance, you may just get the whole thing comped in Bitcoin. Can't go wrong. We have a little bit of a giveaway to do on Monday that has to do with the ShakePay card, so stay tuned for that. I'm going to tweet that out in the morning along with the stream link for the Monday night flagship show. Hope to see you guys there, and definitely hope that you'll enter the contest as well. So yeah, enjoy this this episode. Have a great weekend, and don't spend too much time picking weeds. Enjoy it. Have a beer with a buddy or a friend, and you know, enjoy the weather. It's finally summertime in Canada, which we don't get too much of. So take care, and I'll see you guys Monday. The Canadian Bitcoiners Podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is May 24th, 2022. I hope you had a wonderful long Victoria Day weekend, and the weather was fantastic and you were able to enjoy it with your friends and family. And before we go any further, our show is sponsored by ShakePay, and it's the best place to buy and sell your Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below, you'll get the ability to shake your phone and you'll get Satoshi's fractional Bitcoin added to your account. So if you do that for 200 straight days, you will have a streak running that you could get up to 1,000 Satoshis added to your account. So not too bad. It's a faucet that's not too many faucets still exist that get you free Bitcoin. Also, if you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, you will get $30 added to your account, which is a pretty good bonus. And lastly, there's a ShakePay Visa card where if you buy your, well, buy anything, but you know, if you use it for everyday purchases like gas or groceries, well, you get 1% rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. Also, you could potentially get the whole thing rewarded back to you in Bitcoin with the Shake Paid contest, which is still ongoing. And yeah, with that being said, let's move on and see what's going on in the markets today. It's been an interesting day. It's been an interesting weekend. So it's been a few days since I was able to do this type of show. So we'll see what has transpired, what's going on, and let's get hashing. And before we go any further, let's take a look to see who are the winners and losers for today. There's quite a few more losers than there are winners. And this is as a result of the markets being not too kind to investors, but also the price of Bitcoin took a minor step back. It was, you could either look at it as a step back or stagnant, either one of the two, but neither of those two generally lead to very good results with Bitcoin related equities or Bitcoin miners. And this, today is another day that reflects that. Leading the pack, we have LQWD, Liquid FinTech, up 3.85%. We had their CEO Sean Anstey on our show last year, and if you want to know a little bit more about Liquid FinTech, the Lightning based company, I would suggest check out that interview. DigiHost, it's up 3.33%, and I suspect they're going to be going through a reverse split in the not too distant future, and I'll be talking about reverse splits just in a little bit. HelloPal, the altcoin miner, 2.33% up. A big digital assets, 1.41% up. So that's really it. I mean, Luxfolio, Aqua, 0%, so it's been flat. But yeah, on the flip side, we have a lot that are going down. Hive down 15%, and I'll be talking about some news, what happened with Hive momentarily. I don't think what's transpired today would should lead to 15% drawdown, but investors didn't like it. Cathedral Bitcoin down almost 14% in a day. I like Cathedral Bitcoin. I talk about them very high in high regard. I think that they have strong team behind them and they're laser focused to the car to the cause. CryptoWorks, kind of a company that's deviating from the Bitcoin mining, they're down 11.76%, and same with Iris Energy, 11.67%. So slightly better gain for that day for them. And all in all, it's just yeah, a lot of in the double digits. The HIOT, iMining, CryptoStars. It's been a rough day all around. So these are the days if you have any dry powder sitting around, redeploy it. Consider being a dollar cost averaging or buying a dip, whatever it is you want to do, because these prices, they're not going to remain this cheap forever. And when the Bitcoin price rips, which eventually will happen, you'll be looking at these days and wishing you had deployed more capital because things are just so darn cheap right now. But again, what do I know? And don't take what I say as financial advice. And leading things off is a really interesting story from Hive. And they announced today about consolidation of their shares. And they were making waves last week. This is going to be coming up, and here it is. And so, as of this morning, May 24, 2022, they have announced a 5-to-1 reverse split. And so, if you had five shares before, now you have one. And if you have a fractional version, so if you have less than 0.5, they're rounding it down. If you have more than 0.5, they're rounding it up. So, if you have four shares, you're going to be rounded up to one share. If you have two shares, it's going to be rounded down to zero. So that's how they're going to be working this whole rounding error, this rounding piece here when they're doing this the reverse split. Now, the question is, why are they doing this? Well, in order to meet NASDAQ requirements, they have to ensure that they have a price that is at least $1 for their shares for a period of 29 consecutive days. I think that's the what I've read. So in order to maintain the minimum requirements to stay on NASDAQ, which they are, they have to have a price that's above that number, and that's in US dollars too. So that take that consideration if you are trading on the Canadian side of things. So that's why they're doing this. It looks like they're prepping for the worst. Definitely, it's not a bad thing. This has been done quite often for companies that want to get listed on NASDAQ. So it just this is par for the course. It's not anything of concern. It's just making sure that they have room for error in case things go really bad, that they are able to maintain their listing on NASDAQ, which is what you want because it gives them greater exposure to shareholders and potential shareholders and could potentially drive up the price of their shares. Keep in mind, so this is not applicable just to Hive. Any other company that is publicly traded on the NASDAQ, like HOT, Bitfarms, is also going to be subjected to this as well. So yeah, so they may be doing the same process in the very near future. They might be doing a reverse split. And if they do, I wouldn't see this as a negative. It's just something, it's how they do business if they want to remain on NASDAQ. It's too bad the price of Bitcoin took a real dive, within the last year. Since they've been listed, they were listed in, I think, June of last year. So it's too bad this is the case. But I don't know, nothing else really to say. But so if you notice that you have now a heck of a lot less shares in your portfolio from Hive, that's the reason why. It's because it's a reverse split. Also, you might notice that your portfolio value may have jumped tremendously. Give it a few days for the software, for your portfolio manager to take this into consideration, and it's going to average it out over time. So your portfolio hasn't jumped up tremendously in price today as a result of this. It's just give it time to rectify, and you'll find that you're going to be kind of even Steven in the end. So it's all I got to say on Hive. But keep in mind that this is also going to be applicable to other companies that are listed on the NASDAQ, like Bitfarms and HUT and so forth. So that's something that you're going to have to keep in mind. And moving on, there's an interesting story coming out of the Coinbase camp, and this has to do with their employees. Keep in mind, this is all very speculative on my part. So the article says that Coinbase reportedly wants staff to rate each other using an app, adopting a controversial management principle called radical transparency. So this is going to enable their staff to evaluate each other and to rank them. And this is going to, I'm thinking, lead them down the path to potentially downsizing their staff. And this is one of the ways that they could deal with the bleeding. There's a lot of expenses to run a company, and one of them is staff, employee staff, their salary and bonuses and everything that goes along with employing, a staff member. So this might be one way that they could deal with staff members that are not as well regarded amongst their peers, and they may not be providing good service to their customers. So this might be controversial, and it may not be very good for the morale of Coinbase, but it might give them an opportunity here to evaluate their employees and to pick and choose who it is they want to jettison. So it's all speculative on my part, so don't quote me on this. I could be totally off base here, off Coinbase, that they are going to be downsizing their staff, but I suspect there's smoke here, and when there's smoke, there's fire. So if you're a Coinbase investor, again, I don't know. I mean, I'd be kind of worried about this. This is definitely not good for morale, and I think the signs are on the wall that they might be downsizing the number of employees they have. But this might be an opportunity for somebody that wants to invest in Coinbase because they could see that this is a way for them to cut the fat and make their operation more lean and perhaps even very or profitable. So yeah, so again, very much speculative on my part, so don't take this as gospel. I could be totally off base, but I suspect this whole endeavor is going to lead to restructuring, downsizing, and some people being let go from their operations. And one other Coinbase piece that I just want to bring up, and I totally forgot to bring it up when I recorded the last segment, is that they are now listed on the Fortune 500 list. Yeah, this might be just a symbolic thing, but for whatever it is, they are now on the list. So I guess Coinbase investors can rejoice that they are there. Great, congratulations, they're on the list. Let's see what transpires for moving forward with their stock price. So hopefully it's good news for investors, but I suspect it's going to be a whole big nothing burger. But yeah, there you go. And let's talk about Voyager Digital. And they talked about today that they have recently gathered $60 million. Actually, it's $58 million, and this is through the sale of common shares. So they sold a whole bunch of common shares to raise $58 million US, and they sold it at the average price of $2.34 US, which is the equivalent of $3 Canadian. What are they going to be doing with this? Well, they're going to be using this for general corporate purposes. We've heard this before. Generally, it's not the end of the world, but let's go a little bit further. What are they going to be doing? They're going to be expanding and looking into pursuing expansion into Web3, NFTs, credit products, and managed account products. Well, that is not very appealing to somebody like me. Let's just look at the NFT markets took an absolute dive in the past little while. There's so much more product out there, and it seems like the market has been flooded with a lot of 8-bit pictures. They do very little to me. They don't appeal to me. But even if they do appeal to a lot of people, you have to at least acknowledge the fact that there's a lot more of them out there, and it's flooding the market. Web3, it's not lighting the world on fire. Credit products. DeFi, is that really doing something? That's it's kind of a swear word these days. Look what happened with Luna recently, and Celsius coin, it's not doing all that well. So yeah, what they plan to invest in leads me to believe there's some concerns. They mentioned $225 million in total. And that's in net cash and crypto, and of which $175 million is in cash. So they're sitting on a lot of money that they could deploy into, unfortunately, products which may not appeal to me and may not have a lot of room to grow. But I could be wrong. Voyager Digital may be able to do it and may be able to turn this into a real gold mine, or they could get rug pulled. And I'd be very concerned if I was a Voyager Digital investor. So keep that in mind. If I was an investor of them, I would really consider redeploying my capital elsewhere, but that's just my two cents. And some really good news that came out today from the Aquarius AI camp. It's one of the smaller Bitcoin miners out there. So let's rejoice about this one because it's really good news. So they announced that the commencement of Bitcoin mining has started. So they've announced back in November that they were acquiring 10 petahash worth of Bitcoin miners, so ASIC miners, and they anticipated it was going to be launched in April 2022. Well, it's now live and hashing away. Their stock was took a real jump today as a result of this news. So I love it. We have now another small miner doing their thing, securing the network, earning revenue as a result of securing a network, and it's a smaller one. This is a small cap company. I think that they have great aspirations, though. I think that they are not going to be sitting on their petahash. They're going to be expanding on that. So again, I wouldn't say this is financial advice, but I would put a small play in this because this could be one that has great upside. And yeah, I like the people that are surrounding them. They snagged one of the people that used to assist with in Hut 8. This was some time ago, so it helped Hut 8 expand to where they are now. So having the people on their team that used to belong to Hut, I think this is valuable information, valuable experience, which they could use to help expand their operation. Aquarius AI, check them out. Think about deploying a small bit towards them because I think there's a good opportunity for this one to really rip in the next few months, maybe a couple of years. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was an interesting day, but like that, what else could you do besides grin and bear it? If you have any dry powder available, deploy it to buy some more Bitcoin or buy some Bitcoin-related equities. And of course, understand that everything I say, including any of the advice I give, is not financial advice. It's just strictly my own thoughts, my own opinion. And you should do your own research and due diligence. Don't listen to what I say. Make sure you do your own research before you deploy any capital, and don't rely simply on my thoughts and my advice because you're just going to get wrecked. And I'm not a financial advisor. And the same applies to Joey and any guest that appears on our show. So take everything we say with a grain of salt and do your own research. And with that being said, I guess we'll talk tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners. Welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is May 25th, 2022, and there's not much to talk about on the agenda. But before we go any further, a couple of things. Number one, the show is sponsored by ShakePays. If you use our promo code below, buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, you get $30 added to your account. Also, using our promo code below, if you shake your phone once a day, you'll get added to your account Satoshis, which are fractional Bitcoin. And if you do this consecutively for 200 straight days, the amount you'll be awarded is 1,000 Satoshis. Not too bad. And lastly, the ShakePay Visa card is in play. So if you use your ShakePay Visa card for your everyday purchases like gasoline or groceries, you'll get 1% rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. Also, there's a ShakePaid contest going on. So you could get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. So it's a great exchange, a good way to onboard into Bitcoin. Totally recommend it. Second, want to ask if you could please like this video and subscribe to the channel. It's going to help us out tremendously if you do so. And with that being said, let's get hashing. So before we go any further, let's take a look to see who are the winners and losers on the day. The price of Bitcoin was relatively flat compared to yesterday at the close. But we've had a little bit more winners than losers. So let's take a peek to see who who they are. And iMining leading the pack at 22%. And iMining is kind of deviating from the course as being a 100% Bitcoin miner. So take that for what it is. Luxfolio, second on the list, 13% gain. That's the company we talk about on a weekly basis. CryptoStar, 11%. Few notables here. I see Galaxy Digital at 9.6%. This is really good news for them after getting trounced recently. Another one that got trounced quite a bit, Coinbase, 9.47% up. And even I see on the plus side, Stronghold Digital that got kicked in the teeth for the past couple of months, up 3.62%. So there's a number of different companies here that are gain that have made gains are in the green, but still on the red side. So Global Care, HLTH, 25% down. Block Mint down 14%. Mawson, 10% down. So near the bottom, they're either near the top or the bottom. I don't know why. Aquarius, 9% down. WonderFi, 8% down. Liquid down 7%. They were leading the pack yesterday, or just about leading the pack. So yeah, so it's kind of a mixed bag here, and a lot of this was just, sheer speculation. Why is Global Care down 25%? I don't have any information. There's nothing to justify that. Same with Block Mint and Mawson, what double digits going down, but why is iMining and Luxfolio and CryptoStar double digits on the plus side? No information, nothing to justify it that I could tell. It's pure speculation from what I can see here, because there is absolutely no news to report on any of those companies. So that's what we have today. So, not too bad. A little bit more winners than there are losers, but I would say it's kind of slightly better than flat. I'll take it, given what has transpired over the last couple of months. So we'll take any sort of gain that we can get these days. And leading things off is a story from Big Digital Assets, and this is a rather interesting piece of news that came out. It's kind of flying under the radar, and their subsidiary Blockchain Intelligence Group has announced that as of today they could do now investigations and analysis on the blockchains of Dash and Dogecoin. I'm not sure how impactful this is going to be, given the fact that those are not very, very large blocks, especially Dash. I'm not sure how big that is. Doge may be a little bit larger, but in comparison to Bitcoin, it doesn't have the same user base. Nonetheless, this is going to give them the ability to do analysis on those two blockchains, and this is going to be important for them scoring contracts with, the U.S. government and other people that want to have this information available to them. This is probably going to be good moving forward, and this isn't the only two things that they could do analysis. They now have 11 other blockchains plus 372,000 ERC20 tokens, so they have quite a few different blockchains that they could explore and examine and provide information to law enforcement and governments should there be a need to do so. Really interesting stuff. May not be all that fits well with the Bitcoin ethos. However, as an investor, this might be something that may be maybe not bullish, but at least helps the cause out. It gives them more potential for them to score contracts with the government. They already have been given a contract in the past with the government, and if they could find that the information that they are receiving through Big Digital Assets to be informative, maybe they'll give them a more lucrative contract moving forward. And also expanding on their blockchain analysis, now including Doge and Dash, I think it's rather good news as an investor. As a Bitcoiner, I definitely have some concerns about this, but this is outside my control. I'm just relaying what I see here. This is kind of slipping under the radar, so take this for what it's worth. It's not going to be a game changer, but it's definitely going to help out Big Digital Assets moving forward to make them a more profitable company and also a more lucrative company to do deal business with governments, by governments and banks moving forward. And moving on, there's a story, another interesting story. This one comes out from the DMG blockchain camp. So a little bit unusual to me, but they have been granted a patent. And what this patent does, it enables them to do identity tracking on in a cryptocurrency transaction. And this is even if the associated blockchain itself does not store user identity information. So they're doing this because they're trying to move forward and push the narrative of KYC and AML. So know your customers and anti-money laundering, because this is something that seems to be really important to regulators moving forward. And they have their Terra pool, which is a DMG led pool that's ESG friendly. So they're hoping that this could be incorporated in that Terra pool. Not entirely bullish on this. I think, again, this is another piece of information that may not jive well with Bitcoiners per se, because you don't want to have your identity tracked on in any transaction, if at all possible. But I guess as a publicly traded company, one that has a pool, a mining pool, so I think that it's probably more in line with pleasing regulators than anything else. Still, not too bullish on this as a Bitcoiner, as an investor, probably slightly bullish. I think that this might give them an edge over other companies, and the fact that this is a patent, maybe other companies might need to use this information and will pay royalties, or use the ability to apply this and will pay royalties to DMG, which will further increase their revenue moving forward. But still have questions about this. I'd love to see how this is going to be implemented moving forward, and how much the market itself, users, will actually be using Terra Pool and potentially even moving elsewhere as a way to avoid KYC or AML. So we'll see how things play out. This is something that's going to be it's going to be some time before we know the true impact of this, if it indeed if it's positive or if it is negative. And that's it for today. It was a rather short episode because not too much news that was noteworthy that was to be reported on today. So just before we close things off, just want to make sure you are aware that I am not a financial advisor, so nothing you hear from me, nor anything you hear from Joey or any of our guests, can be considered financial advice. Do your own research, do your own due diligence. It only makes sense. And with that being said, I guess we'll be talking again tomorrow, so take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is May 26, 2022. Not much to talk about today, so I'm going to do some digging here to find a few items to discuss. Hopefully, you'll find them to be informative. But before we go any further, just want to make sure you are aware that this show is sponsored by ShakePay. If you use our promo code below, you will be able to get $30 added to your account if you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. So that's not too bad. You will also get the ability to shake your phone and to get, with that, Satoshi's partial Bitcoin added to your account. And if you do that for 200 consecutive days, the streak will net you 1,000 Satoshis per day. Not too shabby. And last, and certainly not least, is the ShakePay Visa card. If you use that to buy your everyday purchases or anything, in fact, so if you buy your groceries, fill up your car with gas, or whatever the heck you buy, you'll get returned back to you 1% worth in Bitcoin. Also, you have the ability to get the whole thing, not too bad, the whole thing returned back to you in Bitcoin. So that's not too shabby. I would suggest, if you're not a ShakePay user yet, suggest you get on board. Use our promo code below. It's really the one of the best ways, well, the best way to get on board into Bitcoin. And secondly, just want to ask if you could please like and this video and subscribe to the channel. We're trying to, as well, trying to get as many people as possible on board the Canadian Bitcoiners train. So with your help, that could be done. And with that being said, let's get hashing. All right, before we go any further, let's take a look to see who are the big winners and losers today. It's been a pretty good day. The price of Bitcoin, I will say it's stagnant. I mean, it didn't really move up all that much towards the trading day, or towards the trading day, but the markets as a whole, they were favorable. So this kind of bled in into the Bitcoin mining world and the Bitcoin equities world. So let's take a look to see who are the winners and losers here. So CoinSmart and Aquarius AI, both 20% up on a day with no news. So very interesting, big jumps on their part. GlobalClear, HLTH is a ticker, 16.6%. Canada Computational, 13.51%. TeraWulf, 12% up. So like there's a few of them double-digit gains, and two of them 20% gains, not too bad. And there's a host of others, DMG almost a 10%. So it's been just pretty much a green day all around. But not everybody was so fortunate. There's a couple of companies that were on a negative side, and iMining being one of them, 18% down. This is the one that I find surprising. Cathedra Bitcoin, 13% down, 13.6% down to be more specific. Why? I mean, again, no news. Like on all these companies I'm naming here, there's no news as to why things are going up. It's just pure speculation that's causing the price to go up and go down. Why Cathedra Bitcoin went down 13%? I don't know. Might be a very good buy opportunity. Check them out. Hello, pal. Whatever. Goodbye, pal, I guess. 11.9% down. So we got the three companies with double digits losses. That's pretty bad. And I feel, my heart bleeds for Cathedra Bitcoin. I like the team. I think that they're still going to rebound from this. This is just a small setback. Pick them up if you have an opportunity to buy them, if you have some dry powder on the side, because this is one company that certainly has, very, very high aspirations for themselves. And I think that they're going to do well in comparison to their peers. Galaxy, whatever. LuxFolio, too bad. I'm down almost 7%. WonderFi, 5.7%, 5.77% down, whatever. So that's it. I mean, that's pretty much a mixed bag in terms. Well, not really a mixed bag. It's way more, actually. Sorry, that's probably a better way to say it. Way more companies that made than lost today, which is good. We need that. We need some more days like this. It's been pretty rough, choppy water sort of past a little while. So hopefully we've turned a corner, but we'll see. Tomorrow is another trading day, and hopefully people are very, very happy before the weekend, and we'll pump this one up even higher. So fingers are crossed. Okay, so leading things off, let's talk about a story from Bitfarms. And I've talked about them favorably because I do like the people leading the company. I like their focus towards the cause, towards Bitcoin mining. They're not deviating from it, and they're Canadian at that, so that's another bonus. But they announced just today some really interesting news that they're going to be holding an analysis and institutional investor day on June 22nd, 2022. There's going to be both an online and in-person part to this, and it's taking place in Montreal. So to get on the in-person list, you have to send an email because it's by invitation only. You have to contact the LHA Investor Relations, and the email address is bitfarms@lhai.com. Send them an email if you wanted to be there in person, and hopefully you'll be invited to attend there. Because you know what, it's good if you're an investor or intending to invest in them. It's probably best if you can meet them in person. It'd be pretty cool if I could do that. So people in Montreal, or even in within driving distance of Montreal, I'm looking at you for people in Ottawa. Check it out. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to go check it out. And I can't guarantee you'll be allowed. You'll be one of the invitees, but certainly give it a shot. What do you have to lose? If I was within driving distance, I'd do it. Montreal is just too darn far for me to go, so I'm not going to be doing that. So that's it. It's pretty quick stuff. Not much else to say on the Bitfarms front. If you want to take a look a little bit more into this, it's really not much to see. Check out the Bitfarms Twitter account. It's listed there. They posted it today on May 26th. So check it out if you want a little bit more information, but at least attend the in sorry the online segment. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If especially for somebody like me, I might have to do it depending it when it's done, and if I have if I could do it. If it's outside working hours, definitely attending. During working hours, it's going to be a challenge, unless it's during lunch. Otherwise, yeah, I'm just going to throw a lie in reports and seeing what's being said there. But I'm not going to be attending and saying if I'm like, oh, kicking the tires, thinking if I'm going to be investing in Bitfarms. I'm going to invest. I've already have invested in Bitfarms. It's notice, full disclosure. I like them, and I will continue to pump their tires and make them hopefully bring them to the moon, because they are a good company. Check out our interview actually with Ben Gagnon. That was a great interview, and it just goes to show you the people behind the project, behind the team of Bitfarms, who they are, and Ben is absolutely brilliant. So yeah, check it out, and yeah, let's move on. And the last story I have is to do with Big Digital Assets and their subsidiary Netcoins listed a bunch of altcoins, and I'm biting my tongue here, on their platform. So Netcoins listed Sand, DAI, Uni, Aave, MKR, GTR, CHZ, XTZ, and BAT. So a few of them I never heard of before. I have no idea what they are. In fact, most of them I have no idea what the heck they are. I know what BAT is, I think, and Ave, I'm somewhat familiar with, but yeah, so that's what I have to say. So Big Digital Assets, their subsidiary Netcoins, listing a whole bunch of these altcoins on their platform. Is this going to bring them to the promised land? I don't know. It certainly gives them a little bit more exposure to having people come into their to use their service. I don't know if it's good or bad. A lot of these are have been just getting kicked in the teeth lately. The markets for these altcoins have been getting just wrecked in comparison to Bitcoin. So take this into consideration if you're a investor in big digital assets. I don't know, you might be a little bit happier that they've listed this, but really, I mean, is this gonna do anything? It's not gonna really move the needle. But you know what? That's the news I have to present on them today, and hopefully you digest it and yeah, act accordingly if you're a big digital assets investor or you want to be. So check it out. And that's it. You know, just another relatively short episode because there isn't much, it's kind of light in terms of news stories today. So, yeah, with that being said, two things. Number one, I'm not a financial advisor. I've never claimed to be a financial advisor, nor do I even portray myself to be a poor financial advisor. So please take whatever I say with a grain of salt because you just get wrecked. Do your own research and due diligence. And the same applies to Joey and any guests that come on our show. None of us are preaching financial advice or are financial advisors. So take that in consideration. And I guess with that being said, there may be an episode tomorrow. I would say it's greater than 50-50 that I will do so, but we'll see what happens. It is Friday, and if I, well, we'll see what happens. So until then, take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is May 22nd, 2022, and we'll try hashing out this episode in about on average of 10 minutes, but slightly longer today given what I want to talk about. A couple of things before we go any further. Number one, the show is sponsored by ShakePay, so it's the best place to buy and of course never sell your Bitcoin. Buy $100 worth of Bitcoin with using a referral code below, you get $30 added to your account. Second, using a referral code below, you get to shake your phone once a day, and you will get be rewarded with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do that for 200 straight days, and you get a little bit more every day. And the total amount will be 1,000 Satoshis every day you shake your phone at and beyond a 200 consecutive day shake streak. So not too bad. Third thing, last but not least, is they have the ShakePay Visa card. So use this for your purchases. For your everyday purchases or for whatever, so you could use it for your gas, your groceries, or whatever, and you get rewarded back to you 1% back in Bitcoin added to your ShakePay account as well. You could get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin with the ShakePay promotion that's currently ongoing, and it seems like it never ends. This is fantastic. So, yeah, so a couple of more, actually, one more thing. Make sure you like and subscribe. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. We got to try getting as many people as possible on the Canadian Bitcoiners bandwagon, and we need your help to in order to do that. So with that being said, let's get hashing. All right, so before we go any further into this deep dive here, let's take a look to see who are the winners and losers for today. It's been a pretty good day all around. Although the price of Bitcoin did take a small step back, nonetheless, the equity markets, they had a great day, or for the most part, a great day. And so as a whole, the markets were very good. And so the Bitcoin miner and their related equities, they piggybacked off the markets, the gains today. So it's kind of interesting that they didn't go in line with the price of Bitcoin. It's this kind of a, I don't want to say a decoupling between the price of Bitcoin miners and the price of Bitcoin, but it seems interesting that today just the rising tide lifted all ships on the markets, but Bitcoin stagnant, maybe a little bit took a step back. Would love to see what happens when Bitcoin, the price of Bitcoin goes up and how the Bitcoin miners react. But nonetheless, Digihost, man, 18.23%. That's a huge gain. WonderFi, 10.2%. And those are the only two that had double-digit gains. And we had a whole bunch of others that were, close to it, like Big Digital Assets, 8.43. We talked about them yesterday. adding some more coins to their subsidiary. Netcoins, HUT 8.11%, Coinbase 7.8%. Wow, that's, given how much the drawdown from Coinbase price get from the time it was IPO to now, 7.8% gains, good for them. Liquid FinTech 7.69, the Lightning Network company. So it goes on and on. So a lot of green today. So it is like a rather good day if you have any money parked in the majority of the Bitcoin miners, but not all of them had good days. We had a few of them that didn't. Global Care Capital Inc., the ticker is HLTH, 14.29% down. Wow, with no news. Galaxy down 11.65% on no news. CryptoWorks, they're doing their thing. 11% down. CryptoStar 10% down. So there's a few of them double digits down. Cipher Metaverse, aka Code, CODE is the ticker, 9% down. Wow, Canada Computational, ticker SATO, SATO, 4.76% down. That's on news today, which seems to be pretty good. We'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. And Cathedra Bitcoin, 3.51% down. Like, I don't know. I'm still very bullish on Cathedra Bitcoin. So, even though we have some drawdown, another one today, it's not deterring me. If I had some more dry powder, I'd deploy it towards Cathedra. I like their company. I like their vision, and I like where they're going. But yeah, that's the markets as a whole. It's been let's just scroll down too much. It's been pretty good as a whole. I would say quite a few more gains than there are losses. And yeah, I mean, hopefully you are on the green side rather than the red side today, because yeah, I say it's two-thirds green ish and one-third's reddish. So not a bad day in a market. We'll take it, considering what has happened and what has transpired over the past few months. So rather good news. All right, so leading things off, I have a story from Soluna, not Solana, but Soluna, and they're a publicly traded Bitcoin mining company. And they released a very interesting article today on how they are trying to achieve quieter data centers. And in the article, I'm just going to pull it up here. It shows off their configuration of the data centers are in X configuration. So there's the photo there. So for the people in the video, here it is. In the audio side, the configurations of these data centers, they have these buildings that are set up in an X configuration, so the noise is kind of all filtered towards the center of the X, and so it's kind of mitigating the sound externally. They also note a couple of more things, that they have these large fans that they have installed in their data centers to blow in cool air and exhaust the hot air. And they say in the article that a smaller fan running at a higher RPM makes way more sound than a larger fan at a lower RPM. And even though that one would be much louder, so the smaller fan would be much louder than the larger fan, they could still both move the same amount of air. So they are installing much larger fans, running them at a slower RPM, and so they're able to achieve the same success of cooling or drawing in cool air into their data centers, but at the cost, at the good cost of actually using or creating less noise in the general vicinity. So that is really good. They're putting on these bigger fans, running them at lower RPM is creating less noise, so it's less impactful for the people around them. But not that there would be anyone around them, given the fact that their data set just looks like it's next adjacent to a some sort of field that's just uninhabited. But anyways, it's still a cool stuff. And they also say that their filtration is set up in an angle, so they're increasing the amount of surface area. That also adds a layer of efficiency to the whole process, that so there's less dirty air coming in. Really cool stuff. I like this. And so they're trying to think outside the box to make sure that their data centers are less impactful for the surrounding areas. And if they could somehow make it in such a way that it's not too noisy, maybe they can install this closer to urban environments. Maybe not next to a neighborhood, so to speak, but at least if it was a factory-like type level sound, then you could install it in an area that would have factories, and it would kind of blend in with the surrounding areas. I like this. Soluna's thinking outside a box. Good for them. It's a company that we should be talking about more. I should be talking about more. I'm gonna, try to do my best to talk about them a little bit more. Good stuff from them. I hope that other companies achieve or try to achieve the same thing that they're trying to do by mitigating the sound around them, because obviously this is an issue. And we noticed that in New York, for instance, that a proof of work ban is mostly due to the fact that, you know, they're talking about the energy, but some of it has to do with the noise that's being generated, and it's caused some real issues with the surrounding neighbors, and they're, you know, they're not too pleased with the loud noise generated from these Bitcoin farms. And I would agree, I wouldn't want a Bitcoin farm adjacent to my home making a lot of noise and keeping me up day and night. But again, Soluna is doing their thing to think outside the box, and hopefully other companies do the same. All right, so moving on, I want to talk about Liquid Fintech. I talked about their price that they had through the trading day, which was, you know, not too bad. And so what was announced was, give me one sec, there it is. They now have a new director on board. And so Peter Loretto is now replacing Dean Sutton. So Dean Sutton used to be on the board. He's now going to sit as an advisor to the company. And Peter Loretto is coming on board. Dean Sutton, he is the co-founder of WonderFi. So he had quite a bit of experience, like especially now with co-founding a newly IPO'd company, WonderFi. He probably has a great deal of experience. So I would assume he was a real good asset to have on the board. And so now he's going to be sitting as an advisor. So that's, it is what it is. I think that's a kind of a setback in terms of losing him, but they replaced him with Peter Loretto. And he looks like he's coming from the oil and gas industry. So he was the former chief executive officer of Transorient Petroleum Limited. So being in that role as the former CEO of that company, he has a lot of experience with, obviously, with oil and gas. And that type of industry, it's had peaks and valleys in the past few years. And Bitcoin is the same thing. So I think that having him with the knowledge of these peaks and valleys that come along with oil and gas, and applying that knowledge in Bitcoin, because Liquid Fintech is a company that is based on Lightning Network, so it's very much tied to what's happening with Bitcoin. It is a loss losing Dean Sutton, but I would say that Peter Loretto seems to be somebody that would be an adequate replacement for him. And also keeping Dean Sutton as an advisor is, I think it's not too bad. It's you know, you're losing him as a director, but keeping him as an advisor, I like it. So there you go. So that's the information I have coming from Liquid Fintech. That's, you know, it's more behind the scenes thing, and it's not going to be really impactful to the price of Bitcoin. But in terms of long term strategy, how they're going to be moving forward, they're, you know, this is how it's going to be impacting them. And with Sean Anstey still at the helm of Liquid Fintech, I think they're still going where they want to be going. They're not being deviated from the course. So good stuff from Liquid Fintech. It's kind of not really massive news, but still something that we should be digesting if you're an investor or a wannabe investor of Liquid Fintech. And the last story I have, and not the least one, but certainly it's the last one because there's not much really left to talk about today, is CCU, which is Canada Computational Unlimited. The ticker is SATO, and we had their CEO on our show not too long ago. I'll be hopefully posting a link in the notes below. So anyways, they posted on their Q1 2022, and we have some comparison from the previous year. But before we go any further, just wanted to make note that their facility has increased their factor by 4 compared to Q1 2021 of their ability to mine Bitcoin, or their CPU, their mining power. So between 2021 Q1 to 2022 Q1, it's 4x'd in terms of the mining power. And it will try to achieve an 8x once it's totally completed and up and running. So this is really going to be, this is the majority of their expenses. So that when I record these numbers or post them, it's going to be understandable. So the revenue is up 55% from last quarter, sorry, from quarter one 2021 to quarter one 2022. So in terms of 1 year difference, it's up 55%. Not bad. So that's good. The bad, from what I can see, is the 804% increase of expenses. Now, the massive amount of expenses that are being recorded this year versus last year, again, it's increasing the amount of mining power that they have so far deployed and will be deploying over the next little while. And you can see that they posted a excuse me, a net income Q1 last year versus this year, it's a net loss. So last year they posted 544,000 net profit, net income, and this year they're showing a net loss of 2.1 million. But again, this is all just GAAP accounting. It's a shell game when it comes to the Bitcoin miners. So I'm not too concerned about that. One thing I don't see here, which I don't really like too much, is how much Bitcoin they mine in a quarter. If I look at other companies like Bitfarms, for instance, I always use them as the example. They're very transparent. I like on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, yearly basis, it shows how much Bitcoin they mine. And it's so much easier to see where they're growing. It's harder to find in this report how much Bitcoin they mine and what's the projection here. But from what I could tell, the numbers, I mean, everything is going up in terms of expenses and the revenue is going down. The price of Bitcoin's gone down since November and it's, you know, their next quarter, Sato's next quarter is going to be even worse. So, their stock price took a real back, took a step back today. It was the result of this report. Still, I mean, we talked to their CEO. He is like such a Bitcoin bull. So I'm not too concerned about Sato moving forward. I just hope that they don't get beaten down too much by the drawdown in the price of Bitcoin. What I fear is that smaller companies, and I'm gonna put Sato or CCU in this list, the smaller Bitcoin companies, because the price of Bitcoin has gone down, it gives them less ability to raise capital through borrowing against their Bitcoin or along those lines. And it may come to a point where they could get swallowed up by larger Bitcoin miners. They might find it's probably advantageous rather to than to continually expand, but just simply buy up an existing operation. I fear that Sato might be one of those companies that could potentially be bought out by a larger company. It's purely speculation on my part. I could be totally off base. I'd love to know your thoughts. Let me know below what you think. But if things really don't pick up in the price of Bitcoin moving forward in the next little while, it's going to be really problematic for these publicly traded Bitcoin miners that are on the smaller side of things, because they're going to have, especially Sato, they're relatively new in terms of being publicly traded, so they don't have a great deal of history that we could draw upon. I think that they're more ripe for the picking in terms of being purchased by a larger company. So that's just my thoughts. I hope that's not the case, because I do enjoy chatting with your CEO. I communicate with him regularly on Twitter. Really cool guy. And I hope that they do succeed. But again, these are all factors outside my control. So what I hope for and what happens in reality are two different things. And that's it. And again, not that much to talk about today. It was rather light on the news front, but I scraped what I could from the sources I have and presented it to you. So the next time you probably hear from me in terms of the Bitcoin miners and equities front, it will be on next week, probably not Monday, but maybe Tuesday. Yeah, have a good weekend. And before I sign off, just want to make sure that you are aware that nothing is financial advice that we talk about on this channel. Nothing I talk about, Joey talks about, or any of the guests talk about is considered financial advice. None of us are financial advisors. Do your own research, do your own due diligence, the whole nine yards. You know the deal, because we certainly don't have the answers to everything, and you should find out before, do some research before you deploy any capital in anything we talk about. So until then, we'll talk again next weekend. Oh, next week. Sorry. So take care.